Okay.
Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Kind of hungry.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Welcome to the I Hate Critics 1994 podcast. I am professional film critic Sean Patrick. With me is MJ.
Hello.
And Amy.
Hi.
Amy, who's the sponsor?
The Pontiac Fiero, the 1980s of cars. A car that Blaine from Pretty in Pink would probably fuck somebody in the back seat. You're welcome.
Welcome to talking about the movie Dream Lover, starring James Spader and Machen Amick.
Not our first choice.
They don't Clean Slate is not available.
Still.
I don't understand. Why isn't Clean Slate available? Data Carvey, get in touch.
Yeah, we'd like to watch it, you know. Come on.
We tried to watch your movie. Are you ashamed? What are you hiding?
Fucker.
Ray is young, charming, and successful, and the owner of a prosperous architect company. However, he has recently gone through a very painful divorce.
Yeah.
His friends try to cheer him up by showing him the positive sides of being single, but for Ray, marriage and stability is just too important. Oh yeah, totally get that from Spader.
Yep.
Spader's just the
Sure.
guy who he's just the guy who communicates that.
So
He
true.
is so normie,
Ah.
Spader. The most normie guy ever. Who do you want for this role? James Spader.
Obviously.
But when he meets Lena, his gloom is quickly forgotten. She is beautiful, sensual, mysterious, and he is drawn to her like a moth to a candle. They marry quickly and have their first child, and Ray lives in total bliss, but then strange incidents occur, which shed some light on Lena's background. Ray slowly realizes that he hardly knows anything about her. That's the plot
That's
of
the
the
plot.
Yeah.
And he knows she has perky tits. We all do now.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And a full bush.
Yeah, full bush. Well, it was the 90s. They're still living out of the 80s. It's just trim it up. Just trim it up a little bit. But yeah. Oh.
Saw so much of Spader's torso.
Didn't I w was really sure we were gonna see the full Spader.
The full Spader.
Yeah. Little
It was right there.
Yep.
Right below the camera.
Oh my God. Their sex was weird. No, I mean overall, I'm sorry, and I know I said this 1,000 times when we're watching it. I kept saying, "What the fuck is going on?" Because this movie,
we did not know.
No, and it has these weird kind of Twin Peaksy cut-ins from the carnival, and which
those were James Spader's dreams.
Because why though? I don't understand. I don't understand any of this, really, any of
So,
it.
a great way to introduce a main character is the first conversation that he has is him getting divorced and admitting that it's because he beat his wife. That's really the where you want to start with a main character is that he punched and kicked his wife, you know? Really establishes your sympathy for him. Really
Yes,
makes you want to
yes.
follow his story and root for him.
Yes. Oh, 100%. I know I was more enticed.
That's not why they
This
divorced.
poor victim,
No.
poor victim of a man, you know, he's victimized by women everywhere. The
That's
person
probably.
who wrote this movie hates women. They just, in the 90s, hated women.
Yeah,
Just
that's
the entire
100%
90s
true.
just hated women.
Yes.
Hated women. Every single time.
This was written and directed by Nicholas Kazan. It's the only movie that he directed. He was the writer of Reversal of Fortune.
Oh, wow.
He hates women.
He hates women.
Just,
Everybody, this whole movie, the movie looked at me and said, "You're a cunt." And it's right, because I
just
sat through the whole fuck.
The premise of every 90s thriller, women be crazy.
Women be crazy. Sinbad, silk shirts. You know, women be crazy. And he's not wrong. Like in this movie.
Meanwhile, like the lack of self-awareness of male insecurity
Yeah.
is so funny to me. Just because it's all born out of like this desperate insecurity. Like this man has a perfect life. If he just leaves it alone, like
Yeah. Yeah.
if he does nothing and just trusts his wife, life just goes on. She has no plot against him unless unless he does this.
The thing is, I think the entire time, though, he was, or she was planning on...
She was targeting him.
Yeah, and I, like... She was planning the entire thing. So she was planning to get him riled up to the point that he would go crazy and go into a mental institution.
Yeah, because she even said that she fell in love with him many, many years before. And that I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
And then she was just going to go after him, just go for him. And.
Right. But if he hadn't been so fucking paranoid, he would have totally missed all the signals that she was trying to give.
Oh, my God.
Like. Because the movie doesn't lay out the very well, like, that she's plotting anything. Like, it takes...
I think it did, actually.
I don't think it did at all.
It did a little bit.
I felt like we immediately, I mean, after their first date, and then when he came over, and then she was really weird.
Yeah, it was the whole... Everything that she was doing was just odd.
It felt like we know she's fucking with somebody. She's doing something here.
Something about her is not wrong. Like, they brought up the whole, like... secret name thing. She's right, not using the right name.
Right.
But why did he go to Texas?
To get the truth.
But why did he need it at that point?
Okay. If you think of it like from a... I don't think he was going after it from this point, but if you think of it from a father's point of view, he could have been like, who did I have a child with?
Right. Yeah.
And... are these children safe with her?
Yeah. Yeah. And is it, well, and I think a lot of the you know, knowing that people keep calling her sissy.
One person.
Yeah. Twice.
It was one person.
No, it was twice. It was a
black lady at the restaurant.
And then there was another instance of the sissy thing where it was brought up that's like, oh, yeah, I know I'm right. Stop trying to gaslight me. I'm not going to spit her. But... anyway, but yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I would, just because she acted so fucking weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, like the whole thing is, well, she's great in bed. Guess I'll just take her as she is. You know what I mean? But like, no, I think something is up with this woman. She's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
From the jump. From the jump. Yeah. So.
I mean, it was revealed that she was crazy too, but I think there were signs.
God, the... sorry. I know that we're not even there yet, but the end just popped in my head. I got pissed off again. So, God damn.
It's frustrating. So,
yeah.
Ray is obsessed with finding his dream girl, his dream lover, and his subconscious is slowly revealing to him in these dream sequences at a carnival.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Because why not?
That's why I said it felt very Carnival of Souls. It felt like she was like, maybe she was dead. You know, like, I wasn't really sure. She's walking around. She's acting weird. And even... nope. Because it's going to piss me off again. I just thought about it again.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
We're going to spoil the movie, guys. Just hang in there.
Just wait till we get... I always jump around way too often. Yeah. So
yeah. They...
you guys too. I do, too. I really do. That's why I can't do this too well.
We mentioned the first thing that happened was that him admitting that he beat his wife and then they have to get the divorce.
He pushed her.
He hit her.
He pushed her.
He said he hit her.
He slapped her.
Yeah.
After he found out that she cheated on him, I think.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Like, I'm just saying... I'd slap a guy that cheated on me, so I'm not gonna be mad if somebody slaps a person that cheats on him. Like,
Just don't cheat.
Yeah, don't cheat, and then you won't get slapped.
You won't catch these hands. You don't want to catch these hands. Sorry. For us, that's, you know, we choose violence daily. Yeah, yeah. So for us, that's what we do.
Violence.
But... I mean, I don't think that, like, where what you were saying, like, during the movie, too, I don't think he was the villain. I don't think he was in the right at fucking all.
No, he's weird and he's strange, but, like, I mean,
dude, I'd let him hit me.
Okay.
I love James Spader. I know, not like punch me. give me a love slap. Somewhere.
See, the movie could have faked that. That's the part that I'm having the hardest part with. Is like, they could have, he could have not hit her and then her pretend that he did hit her.
I would have preferred that.
That would have made more sense at the very least. Yeah. Why are you, like,
Well, I mean, to be honest, how he hit her, it did look like she just put some makeup on it.
Yeah.
But she actually did fucking, I mean, he punched her.
Watch her just
he
punch
fucking
her
punched her.
When jumping around again.
Well, still.
Because anyway. The first, like, 40 minutes of this movie is, like, just a marriage that really is working out very well.
Yeah, we kept thinking, like, hey, this is nice. Like, for once.
So every time he would go to look for something that's wrong, he would just be like, no, it's fine. There's nothing actually wrong.
It's like, really? Oh, look at that. It's fine again.
Yeah, it felt like we kept thinking, you know, if this movie ends like this, I mean, it's so wholesome. Like,
it's like, all right, yeah, that's fine.
These two have really great sex, and then yeah. They have a very happy marriage that they have a child in.
Lots of money. I mean, they're just very, they love each other.
That's why the plot is so stupid. Like, they're together for, like, what, 5 years? Why would you run a scam for 5 years where you're pretending to really love your husband and be a great mom?
It's the long con.
And what was the point of that, though? I mean, you create two other lives that you now have to share that money with.
Dude, yeah.
Like, yeah, now you created two financial burdens.
So the plot from her perspective is that she has, like, stalked this guy from the time when he was married and scouted out the perfect guy to do this to, who's super rich but has a temper that she can take advantage of later. And then she waits 5 years and two children in a happy marriage to launch her crazy scheme to take all of his money.
I still don't know who she was fucking at the hotel chandelier, though.
I don't think she was.
She had money. She paid for a room. And she's just going there just to, like, knit.
It was all to make him think that she's cheating so she can get him to.
Oh!
Yeah.
You know what? This movie does have layers. Wow.
We're back to Shrek.
We're back to Shrek again.
Oh, my God.
You know, this movie.
Everything for MJ leads back to Shrek.
It should. It
just
should.
Keeps happening. You know, that was the, there was this filter on TikTok that was like, what was the movie that came out when you were, on the year you were born? Mine was Shrek 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay.
I used to watch that a lot. You know, this movie, budget, $15 million. You want to know how much they made?
$256,000. Ah.
Oh!
Damn.
Not what they would call a smash hit, you know?
I can't imagine why. This movie's brilliant.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This fucking movie.
Watch
I feel like I say that every week. This fucking movie.
Yeah. Like, so Larry Miller is in this movie. Famous comedian, Larry Miller.
Who I liked at one point.
Norman.
I hated him in this movie.
He is obnoxious from moment one. Like, the first thing he's like, you gotta get pussy. We gotta get you laid, buddy. You're single again. Oh, let's go. Oh, let's go find some pussy.
I just never stared at his hairline as long as I did. Again, like I said, I love him.
I got to say, he has one of the greatest HBO specials of all time back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he goes skiing and there's a goat and he just takes this thing to the most ridiculous. It's like a 7-minute bit of him just going. And it is one of the funniest, best told stories in comedy history.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
There's a reason why he is a comedy legend.
He is. He absolutely fucking is. I only wish that I didn't hate him so much like I did
in
this movie.
He's so obnoxious in this movie. Well,
and I couldn't tell, like, because they kind of set it up like he might be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he's part of the
like
long
he's the
con.
One who was behind all.
Well, because he asked for money in the beginning. So we did this dumb little red herring in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turns out he has nothing to do with it. But then, I don't know. I still think he's.
Everything was confusing.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, 40 minutes of this movie, there's just no plot. There's, like, it's just these two people, these two very attractive people having sex and falling in love and then spending time with their family and friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, it's totally fine. And then, wait,
then one woman comes up to her at a restaurant and calls her sissy. And she says, no, I'm not sissy. And then they move on. We go on and nothing happens from that for until like the late in the second act. And then suddenly she's crazy. It's been 5 years and she's been insane. She's now insane.
Wow.
She was insane. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. None of us really know.
No.
I mean, that's just women.
Yeah.
It's just what you guys do.
Women be women.
You marry men and then you wait 6 years and then you reveal how crazy you are take everything from them.
That's true.
Of course.
This movie was really just the director's therapy session, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was.
So Nicholas Kazan wrote this over 5 years talking to a therapist.
Wouldn't that be great?
I got the perfect ending, Doc.
Oh my God.
It all makes sense to me now.
No.
It shouldn't make sense.
This whole movie, like, and I know I'm nitpicky about shit. I know I am. But I get really pissed off when people make food and then they don't eat it in the movie. I mean,
it was takeout.
It doesn't matter. It's fucking food. That's a whole plate of food.
Yeah.
Especially if it's good food. Like, if it was like, it didn't taste good.
This is clearly fettuccine with pesto sauce. Clearly.
And it looked good.
It looked delicious. That made me angry.
And she just tossed it in the sink.
Yeah. Yep. Fuck her.
Well, because he walked away and wouldn't eat it, though. That's him. That's on him.
You want to go after James Spader so really bad, do. Don't you?
You're like,
he
really
punches women in the face.
When they cheat on him.
Have you not heard Carrie Underwood's track when he cheats?
where she repeatedly punches her man in the face?
Yeah. Well, I mean, wrecking his car is pretty rude.
Slashes his tires.
Yeah. She keyed his car. I mean, fuck, dude. You need therapy, honey. That's what I would say. But I need therapy as well.
My first tip, don't people in the face. I don't care what they do. Unless they're trying to kill you.
What if it's
an accident? Don't punch people in the face.
What if he meant to smack somebody behind her?
What are you, his lawyer?
Great. You're right here. There's somebody right behind you. Like, oh, no, I meant them. I meant them. I want to see that in a movie.
A guy gets convicted of domestic violence just because he's been trapped in a Three Stooges episode.
Oh my God! Now that's a movie I would watch. I love the idea of that. Now, and you're not wrong, Sean, because, you know, obviously we're not fans of any sort of assault on here, except for the assault on the eyes that these movies always are. But I think that the way that this movie was supposed to be was that, yeah, she was meant to rile him up. She was meant to, because she knew that he had that one incident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they even said, they're like, you have a completely untarnished, unblemished record. So, I mean, he didn't make it a habit. It's just in the last couple of years, he threw his hands.
His first marriage, he hit his wife. In his second marriage, he hit his wife.
I'm getting canceled. You guys know I'm just having some fun. Some good old-fashioned slappy fun over here.
Happy and slappy.
Happy and slappy. No.
It's like Louise. Just...
Happy slappy.
Let's say he is able to control himself and he doesn't hit her, then what is her plan?
Good point, Sean.
That is a good question.
And if she's just going to put on makeup and pretend to get hit, pretend like he hit her or just hit herself, then, like, then do that. It communicates that she's the villain. It would, like, as opposed to the movie is now, it's like, yeah, maybe she is crazy, or maybe she's just, like, tired of men punching women.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all are to some degree. Yeah, no.
There's a version of this movie you can watch, because I just watched it, where I'm like, this guy's kind of the asshole. Like, the entire movie, I'm kind of going, this guy's kind of the asshole. Like, if he doesn't go to Texas, if he just trusts his wife, just kind of believes her, what does she do? Stay married to him the rest of their life?
That's the super long con.
They die together.
Oh my God, they died happily together. I was like, God, I just wanted your fucking money, dude.
I'm 93 years old and I finally got all of his money.
I'm going to Disneyland. God damn it.
My plan to have him pass away in his sleep at 87 has worked perfectly.
It was all by design, all of this. God damn it. Now that would be a funny movie.
It's like the dumbest criminal ever. Like,
I go back to that that Mr. Show sketch, and the two of them, they're like really masculine guys, like trying to beat each other. You got a fucking problem with me? And then it's like, I'll fucking marry your ass. And then they end up getting married.
Yeah.
Hate each other all the way through, but yet they love each other. And then they end up dying together. I mean, it's just like, it's beautiful. That's beautiful to me.
She's telling her friends about her evil plan. So here's the plan. All right, I know this guy and I'm going to marry him. All right, I'm going to trick him into marrying me. Then I'm going to stay married to him. And I'm going to have his child.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to continue to stay married to him. And we're going to have another child.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to stay married.
Oh, okay.
What's the...
And then the next part?
Is there... Yeah. What's your plan?
Eventually,
yeah,
he's gonna die, and I'm gonna get everything.
Oh, like every marriage.
Right? I mean, she didn't even pick an old guy.
No, I mean, just go that route. There are rich old dudes in New York all over the fucking place
that want her
because she's fucking hot. She could have just done that, but then she's probably
But the other thing is, like, she had everything she wanted. He was paying for everything, and it. It's not like she wanted to go off with some other guy.
That's true.
She didn't have anybody else that she wanted. Doesn't make any sense.
Her motivation doesn't make sense.
Does
it?
None of it does. Having children with a guy that she wants to take his whole life and giving herself something else to take care of. Like, dude. I'm still on that.
That's...
You know what I'm going to do? I want to marry this really handsome guy who fucks like a demon and is going to give me two kids.
And richer than fuck.
And then one day I'm just going to turn and go, you're dead. I'm going to take everything now.
Jeez.
Like women. This is what women do.
Women. Am I right? They were a very handsome couple. Two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked good together. Like, you could see them together.
Yes.
Almost disgustingly so. She is just disarmingly gorgeous. Like, every single time. The screen loves her, obviously. Mm-hmm. James Spader, so hot. Weird teeth. I didn't notice that until this movie.
No, I didn't notice that.
Really focused on his teeth, this one. I mean, they're not weird.
Didn't catch me. I didn't notice the
teeth.
They're
just long.
No.
You know, I wish mine.
I thought
were
his hair
longer.
Seemed a little odd.
I don't think that was his hair.
Why would he do that though? He's James Spader. He's got a great head of hair.
He did have a great head of hair, but if you notice him now,
he's bald.
Yeah.
So you think '94 was when he started like trying to cover that up?
And, yeah. I do. Well, he's not. Is he bald? Bald now?
Yeah. I mean, on the Blacklist, he's completely bald. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Like, I think the top of it was real because the way that the wind hit it, it didn't look. You know, mm-hmm. But if you look at the back of his hair,
it was weird.
You can see how it kind of stuck out like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like the wrong color blonde for him. Because, I know he's blonde, but, like, it seemed like the wrong color blonde for some reason.
Well, and he definitely had roots. I feel like they definitely dyed it for sure. And then there was a bit of a toupe issue going on. So. Still love you, James Spader, you amazing bastard. how weird. His name was Ray in the Blacklist, too.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh.
This is his origin story. This is the real Red.
Oh.
I would buy that.
Her parents did think he was in the CIA.
That's true. That's true.
Interesting.
That's why they couldn't come and visit.
See?
Because
making links.
Because he was in the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah. CIA.
She lies to him about I guess not being sissy, and this lie about someone calling her sissy and her saying that she's not sissy causes him to fly to Texas, to find her family, which he does, and they know about him. Like she had told Mina had told her parents about him, even showed them pictures of him.
Yeah.
Like, they knew who he was when he walked in.
And he had no fucking clue who the fuck
and
these people were.
She had told them CIA, so that's why they can't come visit her in New York. Jeez. So he brings the parents with him back from Texas to kind of, aha, I gotcha!
And then she turns it around saying, thank you. Now we can finally all live in
Okay, well, you found out this lie I've been keeping all this time about who I really am, and I mean, and then she gives a very plausible answer to why she changed her name, because she just didn't want to be that little girl from Texas anymore, and she wanted to be a different person, so she changed her name.
Her name was Thelma. I mean, I would change it, too.
Yeah, it's not a great name.
It's not my favorite.
I mean, like, I get it. Like, that made sense. Yeah. Like, that the movie's trying to paint that as crazy. I don't see it as being that crazy.
No, and I did like the line that she said back to him after that, where she said something to the effect of, you should be proud of me.
Yeah.
For changing myself and picking myself up and doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, she's right.
Yeah. In that instance, yeah.
And I don't, like, the name thing I don't care about. It's the real thing that I was kind of weirded out by was the fact that she kept her whole family a secret and kept him away from them, like, what, and told him the lie about it, because it's not you can reinvent yourself without
Well, she didn't lie, she just didn't tell him.
Well she did lie, though. She told him that...
There was, like, some sort of
abuse. Yeah, there was an abusive lie, and then that wasn't true. Like, why did she feel the need to keep the two things that separate, if she still, like, liked her parents at all? Like, I don't know. And the way that, like, she still wanted them to be part of her life in some small way. So why did she keep everybody so separate?
By the same token, though, knowing this about her, like, if she said her father is abusive, he goes to the family house to get him, to see him. And, like,
yeah.
There might have been something about a death, because he might have thought that one of them was dead. And then when they both were alive, he was like, oh, she's lying to me, bringing them back. I think that was the thing, but I don't know that for sure. But I'm pretty sure it was like they're alive and they're well, or somebody's alive and well. So obviously
so
there was a lie.
Too, in that moment when he's standing there next to her parents, he's like, explain this. Explain your mom and dad to me.
And then she won, basically.
And she's like, okay, well, yeah, I just didn't want to be known by them. I just didn't want to, like, have my life associated with the people from my past.
Well, I mean, she's from Texas. I'd be hiding that shit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the small town. Buddy. Her ex. The grease monkey has you honk the horn so he can give you gas.
I thought for sure, like, we were talking, like, we were paused for a moment, and MJ were like he's going to go find her ex-boyfriend, and he's going to be the villain.
That would have been a better story.
Follows him back to Texas, and, like, that's why she changed her name and has all these bruises, and, like, she's just been hiding from this man for so long.
Yeah. That, again, probably would have made more money.
Yeah.
As it is,
our main character is somebody who beats his wife and gets taken advantage of because of it, and we're supposed to be on his side.
I am not excusing him. I'm just saying
the movie is. Like, the movie wants us to agree with him.
But we don't know. You know what? I found that we question both of them kind of. Yeah. Throughout a little bit, you know
it
what I mean?
Was more like, what are these people doing and why
would this he be just, considered a psychological thriller?
I don't think this movie is smart enough for a psychological thriller, because it's so poorly put together.
I think its intention was that
actually turned out to be like a rom-com with a weird ending. We had a really great life together.
I think the movie wanted to make Spader like one of the Hitchcock blondes. You know,
he's like Kim Novak. Yeah.
And I don't think that works.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Not even at all.
It's so weird. This movie is so strange.
Well, and the going in and out of that carnival thing too. Like, that, just stop it. I know he's crazy, but just stop it.
That's a dream he's having. It's a series of the movie is literally called Dream Lover.
No, but then why couldn't the whole thing just be a dream? I liked your idea where he's actually in a dream and he falls in love and he's like, and then he wants to stay there forever in the dream with her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, there's ways that he can't. Like, I like that idea.
Mm.
Be a gorgeous film.
You know what's sad for him is, like, his sliding doors is that he goes to a carnival every night. MJ's sliding doors is a movie where Gwyneth Paltrow, when she goes to sleep, she wakes up in another life that's kind of like the one she has, but a little bit better. And they're both kind of good. Like, both of her lives are kind of good. Like, when she's asleep, she has this really good life. But when she's awake, she has this another really good life. And she has to figure out which one is the real one.
Well, she's not brunette, for real. She's definitely blonde.
That's how you know the difference between, like, she's blonde in one reality and has brown hair in the other one.
You saw the Bob's Burgers where they did the sliding doors thing. Because, remember, it was the one where Bob... He had a mustache in one part.
Yeah.
He didn't have a mustache. That's the sliding doors. That's right
okay.
there.
Yep. Oh.
Now you know that reference.
Was that episode called Sliding Bob's?
Yes. What? Now you know. You're probably like, what does that even mean, sliding Bob's?
Yeah, I didn't get it at first. And then I'm like, oh, I get it.
Hi, editing Sean, interrupting the show to offer a correction. The Sliding Doors is about a different... It's the wrong movie. It's not a Sliding Doors situation. It's a Passion of the Mind situation. Passion of the Mind is the movie where Demi Moore falls asleep and has a different life, and then when she wakes up, she has this other life. And that's the movie I was thinking of, and I said Sliding Doors. So it's not a Sliding Doors situation. It's more of a Passion of the Mind situation. But nobody remembers Passion of the Mind, so... except for me, I remember the premise, apparently, but couldn't remember the actual movie. So, back to the show.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. God damn it. I'm a...
What is your sliding doors?
I don't... What...
You don't have a frequent dream that you always go back to?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I'm married to Robert Sheehan. And I'm also living in Ireland, and I have, like, 5 kids. But that's...
But again, it's been 5 years. You're going to unveil your secret plan to take all of his money.
Oh, my God. I am no Majin Amick. There's no way I'm getting in with him. But yes, that's where I like to go. What about you, Fuzzy?
So I don't have one, but my friend does. Bree had this crazy, like, reoccurring thing.
Yeah.
Where she goes to this realm where it's her in it, but there's tall people and small people, and the tall people want to kill the small people, all the small people. The tall people don't like the small people.
Fuck the tall people.
And so they're in an underground uprising, and they have like a whole secret underground of small people that are trying to take over the tall people because the tall people were trying to kill all the small people. Mm-hmm. And it's been like a saga. This has been like for years. She's had this same dream, and every time she goes back and it's still there the way that it's supposed to be, but just a little bit farther along in the story.
This sounds like fan fiction.
It's really weird. I don't.
It's crazy.
Don't understand it. But I
love,
like,
that for Brie, though.
I want to write that in. I want to write that as something.
Like, yeah, you should. Tall people hurting the short
now
people.
You can tell, Brie, this is her sliding doors.
That's a great question to ask anybody, really. And it's definitely a better film than this.
We've coined this. I think we've coined, what is your sliding doors?
It's a great moment. What is yours?
I never dream.
You
anymore.
Don't?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had a dream.
That makes me sad. I'll dream for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll do that
too. I have dreams like as in goals. Yeah. That's a different kind of dream.
Yeah.
I'm talking about sleeping dreams. I never have any sleeping dreams.
Which is just weird.
That is weird.
I don't know anybody who doesn't dream.
I've had them. I've had some, but I don't have the same dream over and over again.
I have to meditate to get to sleep.
Oh, like with the breathing and everything like that? Yeah.
I have to put on I put on these 9-hour hypnosis videos.
I do those on YouTube.
And on YouTube. Yeah, it's where I get mine. And I think that's the, like, ever since I've done that, which has been a while now, I just don't have dreams anymore.
Well, I think it takes you down to a nice level where you don't, your brain just doesn't have to think. You're just in the moment. I dig that. I dig that. It's nice to know about you.
It's robbed me of my dreams.
Well, I mean, were they that good to begin with? I used to have a dream about both you and Dad either getting eaten by sharks or going down quicksand. And I tried to save you. I think I got you out of the quicksand, but I didn't save anybody else. But the sharks definitely ate all of us. Because I remember waking myself up.
So there were sharks in the quicksand?
No, it was 2 different dreams. I was 10 years old. Could you imagine there's sharks in the... Yeah. It's like Beetlejuice, that big, like, fucking thing that comes up. Just... Could you imagine?
Get me quicksand filled with sharks.
I want that in a shirt.
Interesting. Sharks with frickin' lasers.
No, fortunately, you lay down. You're not gonna go in any quicksand. You'll be fine.
Talk about the end of this movie.
Yeah, let's talk about the end of the movie.
Because it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because you called it, dude. Like, the minute Sean goes, credits are going to roll. It's going to end right here. And then it's fucking does. And I'm like, what the? Oh, so mad. Because in the end, like, she ends up getting him put into a mental hospital.
So, yeah,
right?
Her executing your plan, he punches her in the face as hard
after
as he can.
After he smacks her.
After
he just cold cocks her right there.
Then he leaves and he goes, like, trying to figure out which one of his friends that she's been having sex with, at least that he thinks that she's been having sex with. And when he comes back, there's a doctor waiting for him and the cops are there. And she comes out and she's got bruises on her face. And it's like, yeah, of course she has bruises on her face. You just punched her in the fucking face.
Yeah, you can't be surprised by that.
You slapped her and punched her in the face. Right. And he's acting like, That's makeup. That's can't be like, no, dude, we watched you punch.
Did watch you punch her.
So he gets arrested but instead of going to jail, they put him in a mental institution.
Because all this time she has had a backup in her doctor telling her doctor all these stories that, you know, he's hurting her. He's got all the bruises and stuff.
Yeah. Giving herself bruises.
Right.
Yeah. And then he's that something because they mentioning it and mentioning it.
Mentioned at the wedding. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Really, and it's like, that's weird, man. That you just like, okay, you're throwing it in our face for what?
Yeah.
And then that's the answer to that question, I guess.
She's been faking bruises all this time, just waiting. And then when he finally does hit her, then he's like, aha.
So, that's his eureka moment.
I've waited 5 years and 2 children for you to hit me.
Such a weird,
again, the long con.
Such a weird long con.
You would have to fully commit yourself. Like, what am I willing to do for 5 years?
Another great day spending day with our children and fucking having great sex. When is this guy going to hit me?
Yeah, just hit me already. Come on. Okay. I know you're capable of it. You did it to your last wife. But still.
What kind of person put this movie together? Who thought that was a great idea for a character?
I don't know.
No idea.
Our hero, the domestic abuser.
That's not
true. It's okay, though. She made him. She made him hit her.
But it's not.
So it's all right. It's the excuse.
All it is either, with you, it's either, it's black or white. There's always shades of gray.
Yes.
And I feel like he didn't have a history. He never went to jail for anything.
The literal first scene of the movie is him admitting that he did it.
He slapped his ex.
He punched her, too.
He didn't punch the wife.
No, he did.
He slapped her.
He didn't. He only slapped her.
Yeah.
And choked her.
Oh my God. You're making shit up.
Go watch the movie.
Didn't choke her.
Did.
No. Fuzzy and I say, you're wrong. We're not gaslighting you. Now, what were you going to say?
I don't even know.
No, the black and white, shades of gray. You know what I mean.
Yeah. It just.
And there's
It wasn't like he was slapping her because she didn't have dinner done. Like, that's a problem.
Although he did get mad at her about that. Why did you cook?
When she's like, why didn't you cook? I did like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it was like, he didn't hit her. A domestic abuser would have hit her when she didn't have dinner on the table. That's the, or some form of like that. That would be the sort of argument that he would hit her over.
Right.
If he were that type of a domestic abuser.
Yeah, exactly.
Or for no reason because he got drunk. He went out and got drunk and just started doing that.
Well, like the 90s did, like, you know, men slapping women.
It just seems like this was just not a necessary character trait for this character.
No, it wasn't necessary.
No.
Definitely wasn't necessary.
She could have achieved the same goals without him being impossible to like.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we didn't even need
It would actually be more exciting and tragic if he were actually a good guy.
Yeah. I think if they,
definitely.
If they would have left out the violence, they could she could just be psychologically slowly.
Yeah.
And then she's like, honey, I love you, but we have to commit you. You know, like that kind of thing. Like getting to that point without all the violence.
Yeah.
Now that film may have made more money.
Would have worked a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, somebody's reading the script going, you know what he should do? He should punch her in the face.
Punch her in the face.
Yeah, that's what this movie needs.
Oh, my God.
You know what he should do? First scene, he should admit to domestic abuse. That's what he should do in the first fucking scene.
They kind of did set us up like, you do have anger management issues.
And then it cuts
to
like him being Mr. Normie, I want to be married the rest of my life and have kids guy.
He was pretty romantic. Pretty romantic.
Pretty romantic. He waited outside of her house like all night.
That was kind of creepy. No, that was straight up creepy. I've had a guy do that. And you shake all over and you just want them to leave. But she unlocked the door and let her in.
They didn't even go on a date, really. They were like both at the same grocery store.
Yeah.
And I guess from the long perspective, since she started this off like years ago, apparently,
she wouldn't know where he was shopping and everything.
Maybe she was waiting at the grocery store for him.
Of course she was.
But why then did they have the scene at the museum where he bumps into her and spills wine on her and she gets fucking flies off the fucking handle like he fucking did something to her.
Yeah, that was a weird.
Why did that? Like, couldn't she have just started flirting with him right there?
Honestly, she probably should have. Role,
yeah.
What's weird too is that after he bumped into her, spilled the wine, and then the other girl's crying because he's not taking on her advances. And then she even says to the girl, she goes, did he hurt you too? Like she knew that he had this history of slapping his wife. You know what I mean? Like, so like slowly, this movie could have been so much fucking better. We could have written this movie so much better.
Yeah.
But in
a way that made so much more sense.
Right. Yeah.
He's at this museum and this like fucking crazy woman comes up to him and is like close talking to him. Like he is backing away from her.
Yeah.
Like, the entire movie, like they have to have this camera move where the camera is following him as he is stepping backwards to get away from this woman that Norman, Larry Miller has tried to set him up with, who is just this obnoxious, crazy person who is just like, you're very cute.
Yeah.
She's got this weird fucking voice and she just won't fucking stop talking about how attractive he is.
I did feel bad for her too, because crazy girls need love too. I would say not crazy. I would say she was overbearing.
You would say naughty girl.
Naughty girls need love too. Samantha,
you got it.
Oh,
well done.
Amy's there,
leading you there.
She's still here. She's still here. So anyway. So the whole basic premise is that she's gaslighting him into thinking that he's gonna go eventually like crazy. She's going to manipulate him into harming her.
After 5 years of happy marriage and two kids.
Gorgeous. There's a whole question of that the kids didn't look like it.
Yeah.
They threw that in too.
Never addressed that.
And it was such a weird person to bring that up. Like the woman was like looking at him and she's not involved at all. And she's like,
This baby doesn't look like you.
And it's, it's such a weird person to have them bring that up. Like, it should have been, like, his friend, the guy that was helping her. That would have made much more sense.
That woman was one of his closest friends. I mean, they were having lunch and dinner together regularly.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it didn't make any sense for her to bring that up to them. Like, because she wasn't trying to split them up. Like,
I think the thing that people should have brought up is that he is a blonde man and he's had two children with black hair. Like, she doesn't even have pitch black hair.
No, she doesn't.
Like, that's not a trait that she carries. And he is blonde.
Yeah, because like, you look at her
super
parents,
blonde.
Yeah, like.
And then the baby is born with thick jet black hair.
I swear to God, that baby was like Italian. It was really weird. And man, they have fat fucking babies in this movie. Those two, I swear to God, the two babies together.
Body-shaming babies.
Fat fucking babies. Don't get me wrong, I want to squeeze him to hug him and call him George, but at the same time, they're just really fucking big. There's no way she popped out that 19-pound monster that they had on the bed with
her. With a full head of hair.
A full head of hair. Oh, God. Oh, babies. Ultimately, ends up in this psych ward.
Yeah, after so she all this. She finally send them off to the psych ward, and he's there, and he's just kind of stewing, and they tell him he's got to stay for 180 days because he's a danger to everybody, and he pretends to be John, whereas
yeah, I didn't know where any of that was going. Honestly,
him and his roommate they both call each other John,
which is great. His roommate Billy, by the way, was fucking awesome.
Oh, he was great.
That is a seed stealer. Billy is a seed stealer.
I don't know who he was. I got to look that up in the cast. He was brilliant. He was fucking brilliant. That's what happens. He becomes close with his roommate, and then basically has his roommate distract.
So like when it comes to be John's birthday, John. What is Spader's character's name actually?
Ray.
Ray's having a birthday in the insane asylum, and he has set up Billy to take out the security while he goes for a walk with his wife, with Mansion Amick. He has set up previously that there's some flaw with her plan. He's got his lawyer friend to call her and say, I don't know, he's talking about something, so like you missed something, like you forgot something, like something's...
One moment. Go ahead.
What the fuck?
It's James Earl Jones on my Jesus clock. It's fucking awesome.
So she's like, so that gets Mansion Amick to come to his birthday party at the insane asylum. And then Billy takes out the guard and gets him away. And so he's alone with her. And you figure now he's got something, right? You assume he's about to outsmart her with some piece of information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we all, and I thought getting his buddy in on it to kind of help him, I thought he had something.
He's
like,
he's got the proof of something here about her secret life and her secret plan. And his big revelation is that since he's been declared crazy, he can kill her and say he's crazy. So he chokes her to death.
Chokes her to death. Right fucking there. Right there. out in the yard. And he knows that he'll have to stay in for then he'll get off with...
And when we think, okay, well, this is the setup for the next act then. Like, you know, like, okay, well, we'll see him execute his plan now. And then it cuts to a dream sequence of him dancing at a carnival with his ex-wife. And the movie fucking ends.
It's just done.
That's it.
Fucking ends.
The movie dips so fast.
It's like, I'm out.
I'm out.
What?
I my mouth dropped. Like, it was a gate. Because, A, Sean called it, but two, like, that really fucking happened. They ended a movie like that. Fuck you. Like, I thought maybe they were both dead. Like, I don't fucking know, but...
something. Or, like, cut to him a year from then when he thought that he was gonna get out and be... And he's with his kids again, and he's... Yeah. Without her, maybe with his ex-wife. I don't know.
Yeah,
those poor kids are doomed. By the way, they're just fucking doomed.
You know, the great news is, you know what? She had them shipped back to where she bought them from. God, this fucking movie.
It's such a fucking insane movie.
And you know what? I feel vindicated the fact that it didn't make shit for dollars at the box office. I feel like, you know, it shouldn't have. It was not good.
It explains why the director never directed again.
Yeah.
He's a popular screenwriter. He went on to be make more screenplays, but yeah. Didn't direct a movie again after this.
I think that's all for the best.
this was something.
Wow. I'm looking at James Spader, like some of the covers of the movies that he was in. Holy shit, like they're all sexy. They're all sexy. I'm gonna have to get out the secretary now.
Pause for a moment while Amy thirsts over.
Fucking gorgeous. He was always a good looking dude. It's not his fault he's born that way. It's not my fault. I was born this way.
James Spader, there's always like a hint of menace to anything that he does. Like, even when he's playing the good guy, he's still kind of menacing and kind of weird.
Agreed.
Like Robert California. It's like a comedy character, but he's like portrayed as a serial killer.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's fucking hilarious. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Well, I always thought you did. And again, it's because we were children of the 80s that he was just like a walking line of coke. And I'm positive it probably was in the 80s.
Probably was.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of cocaine at that time in that circle of people.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. You know? So 80s. That's so 80s. So quirky.
There's not really much trivia for this movie.
No, because they didn't care to.
The only piece of trivia that's really kind of notable is that the original theatrical and the VHS versions have different ending and more explicit sex scenes. I don't know what the different ending is.
Should I look it up?
Let's see if the different ending is available somewhere. What was the other ending of Dream Lover? Because I mean.
That he didn't kill her, maybe?
I hope it was that he didn't kill her and that he had a brilliant plan. And then they were like, this is kind of.
Let's just get it over with.
Yeah. Take the easy way out.
Okay, Dream Lover ending explained, you guys.
Oh, someone explained it.
Check
for us.
It okay. out. Yes, yeah, give us this. Give us this. Dream Lover, psychological thriller bullshit, blah, blah. Spoiler alert, contains.
They were wrong. It says released in 1993, not 1994.
Well, a lot of these, though, too, might have been released elsewhere in 93 and then here in 93. God only knows. The film takes a dark turn when Ray's wife, Lena, mysteriously disappears. Ray becomes convinced that his wife's disappearance is linked to his dreams and begins to question his own sanity. As he delves in deeper to his dreams, he uncovers a web of deception and betrayal that threatens to unravel his life. When did she disappear? Or no, and then he finds out that she, I guess, what, the sissy thing?
Wait, go back again? That doesn't make any sense for the movie that we watched.
The film takes a dark turn when Ray's wife, Lena Mathers, mysteriously disappears.
That didn't happen.
Ray becomes convinced that his wife's disappearance is linked to his dreams and begins to question his own sanity. Is this a different movie?
Is that the alternate ending?
That's got to be the alternate ending.
Did they do a whole other separate half of the movie?
You guys, in the final act of the movie, Ray discovers that his wife has been having an affair with his best friend, Larry. Played by Bess Armstrong. That's not true. This revelation shakes him to his core and leads him to confront Larry in a violent confrontation. However, just as it seems that Ray saw closure, another twist is revealed. It turns out that Ray himself had been orchestrating the events in his dreams all along. He had created an alter ego named Larry within his dream world to carry out his darkest desires. In reality, Ray had killed Lena after discovering her affair and framed Larry for her murder. The entire film was essentially a manifestation of Ray's guilt-ridden subconscious. None of that happened in this movie.
No, not even.
What version of this movie did we watch?
That's a different movie.
But it's all the same characters. Like it's like somebody watched it, but like they were like having a fever or something. They're like, yeah, I'll just make up my own story to this because this isn't working.
This would have made a better movie.
I mean, that is a better movie.
That's more interesting.
Well, I did.
And it makes more sense.
I did say at one point, like, is this like Fight Club? Like, we're gonna find out that Brad Pitt and Edward Norton are the same person. Like, I swear to God, this is gonna have that moment. The ending of Dream Lover is intentionally ambiguous, fuck you, leaving room for an individual interpretation. It challenges viewers to question their own perceptions of reality and the extent of which our minds can deceive us. The film serves as a cautionary tale about the dangers of suppressing our true selves and the consequences that can arise when our fantasies become indistinguishable from our reality. What?
Maybe I'm glad I didn't watch that movie.
I think you're right. It turns out...
would have been a mind fuck.
Yeah. Ray was the villain.
I was right all along.
Holy shit.
In this movie.
In this
movie, he was
who wrote
weird.
This?
I don't know, man.
Has captivated audiences with its mind-bending plot. This has to be from another country. They got a different film. Because they make this sound great. You know what I mean?
Maybe they did release a different version in a different language, and they're like, okay, yep, same movie.
So here's the thing.
Google Translate. This is the Google Translate. Google is totally.
That would be fucking hilarious. Check this out. So, directed by Nicholas Kazan, the film follows the story of Ray Reardon, played by James Spader, a successful architect who becomes obsessed with the woman he meets in his dreams. That didn't happen.
No.
They
no.
met in reality.
Yeah, the only woman in his dream is actually his ex-wife.
Right.
Yeah. Who's portrayed as the woman that he thinks that he was in love with.
As the movie reaches its climax, viewers are left with several questions about the ending. Yeah, well, now I've got questions about the entire film.
This is the, according to movie-censorship.com, this is how the movie ended in the extended version.
Okay.
Ray is obviously released out of the mental hospital, and he's in the zoo together with his kids. His son asks how his mother had been, and Ray asks that she had been the most, answers, I guess, is what they meant to say, that he'd been the most wonderful woman in the whole world. Upon hearing that, his daughter asks him if he would promise to choose a woman just as her mother if he wanted to marry again. And Ray and answers her that he would promise it.
No, but he said just choke her out and then the end.
That's what happens in the movie we watched.
That's what happens.
So he chokes her. He goes to the dream sequence where he's falling in love with his ex-wife.
But who does morph into, if you watched it, like, yeah, as they're dancing, all mm-hmm. of a sudden, because then it stops, it went right to that other fucking movie, but you see that she's all of a sudden in his arms. She's got her hair all curled
up. I didn't see
up.
That.
I'm not lying. Watch this movie.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
They didn't remake it better, did they? is this supposed to be from like now and they just remade the movie better?
Dream Lover fan fiction? Where they just write it better than the original.
I'm so confused. How did anyone, like, how did this
mind-bending plot? I do not concur with that.
We saw a different movie.
We saw a different fucking movie. This is such a different fucking movie. Like,
not what we want.
I want to see this movie. Like, I want to watch that one and see what happens in it.
So, like, yeah, the extended scene. Like, they apparently he does kill her. He does spend like a time in the hospital after killing her, and then gets out, and then he's with his kids at the zoo, and his son asks about their mom, and he says that she's a wonderful woman. She was a wonderful woman. And then his daughter asks, Dad, if you get married again, will you marry someone just like Mom? And he's like, of course I will, honey.
You're going to kill her, too. they really fucking made us think that she was the crazy. But then they both were, like, I'm sorry, that's two different movies. I don't know what we fucking watched. I have no idea now.
No, wait, no. According to this, the ending is him staring off into space and then going to his dream place with his ex-wife.
No.
This movie doesn't make any sense.
No. There's a whole lot of lore around this movie. I'm going to make up a whole fucking universe in my head. It's insane.
He becomes obsessed with a woman who... What?
And when? Like, wait.
That's not in this movie.
It doesn't happen. No.
Yes, he is obsessed with her because he does go to her house and wait for her all night and then presses every button on her door to get somebody to let him in and then goes to her apartment and gets himself inside and then...
then some serious fucking happens.
Then they fuck. Then the next day they get married.
Yeah, it's like, after that, they get a big old baby. Big old fat baby right there.
This all takes place over 3 days.
Yes. And he just doesn't question it.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, like, when you look at this movie that we saw, and then you compare it to the movie that they're describing, you can see that that movie was there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just...
Like, there's an edit that could be made of the movie that they're talking about, but that movie is not this movie.
I'm going to edit it and make it a comedy. You think I could do that? A lighthearted romantic comedy. I could do it. Now that would be a funny, funny dream lover, I think. I think it would. So overall, did we like this movie?
Oh yeah, totally. It's great. We loved this movie.
There was some, I will say, there was some gorgeous shots in this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
There's some nice
compositions.
Her. Yeah. There's one scene where she's laying there and she's got the pearls kind of draped over her. I'm like, God, that I would buy that as a painting. Like, that's just gorgeous.
That really looked pretty.
But I mean, that doesn't excuse whatever the fuck this was that we watched.
Plot.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't make up the plot.
No. So what are we watching next week?
I don't know. What are we watching next week? What do you think?
Well, you have to give us options.
Are we supposed to guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys want to watch Star Wars? Or
is that next week? No. You dick. I got excited there for a second. Fuck yeah.
I should watch more of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I've only seen two movies.
Which ones? Episode one?
Fuzzy, what happened in the movie?
Well, one of them was like one of the newer ones. I had to go with both movies. I went with my dad. One of them was like, it's been so long. I think Leia died in one of them.
I think you're thinking of
The modern ones. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, and then there was, I've only seen new ones because I saw them in the theater.
Right.
So.
That makes sense.
Well, next week.
Oh, boy.
The Crow.
Doom. The Crow has the best fucking soundtrack.
The Crow? Shit.
You've never heard of The Crow?
I'll show you.
I might have heard of The Crow.
Brandon Lee is a rock and roller who gets killed, and his girlfriend gets killed, and there's so much pain that he comes back as a superhero, led by a crow, and takes vengeance upon the men who killed his wife.
Looks like the Joker. He was so hot.
I feel like I've seen it, or I've seen the picture.
You gonna tell him before?
Yeah, I mean, the movie is famous because he died while making it. He was shot by a prop gun. On the set and died.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they finished the movie with like some alternate footage.
Oh. Yeah. And then they had a double with like, they can get the back. Yeah, it sucks.
Oh my
but
God.
I liked this movie, so I'm curious to go back and watch it. Yeah.
That's crazy that they released it.
They're remaking it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
and there was The Crow 2.
Don't talk about The Crow 2.
I'm sorry. That one had a kick-ass soundtrack, too. Really did.
Do you remember who's in The Crow 2?
No.
Eddie Furlong.
What?
We don't talk about The Crow 2.
What? We don't talk about... You see that, like, we don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Crow 2. City of Angels. I don't remember him in that.
I could be wrong. No, it's Vincent Perez. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Vincent Perez is fucking hot in that movie. Oh, I want to see that one now. That was 96.
Not until 1996. You can't do it.
Got two more years.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, let's do The Crow, though, because, I mean, again, I loved it when I was a teenager, so.
And you've never seen it?
I have not.
And I think it's kind of cool.
Did you want to mention the number one song this weekend in 1990?
Guys.
Oh, wow.
Lock up your kids. The number one song. On this day in 1994.
As we're recording this.
R. Kelly, Bump and Grind.
Ugh.
Like I said, lock up your kids. Get out your commodes because there's going to be piss everywhere. Ugh. Just saying.
Yeah, just 30 years ago, a man
none of
who
our
is
business.
Currently in prison had the number one song in America.
So disturbing.
Thinking of you, buddy. With all my freedom and not weirdness.
A couple of that song though could be the soundtrack to a couple scenes in this movie.
Oh, get it, but it's true
because they were bumping and grinded.